welcome to The Squeal, PIC's Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. Featured on part two of our Body Condition podcast is Mark Knauer from North Carolina State Extension and PIC's Ning Lu and Sergio Cabanat discussing body condition factors and practical tools to improve your operations performance.
Mark Knauer, Swine Extension Specialist, North Carolina State University.
Hi, Ning Lu, Swine Nutritionist in PIC.
I'm Sergio Cabanat, PIC Technical Service.
How do we communicate the importance of body condition? What tools does PIC have to help us do that?
I think it's a team effort. Today, looking at our nutritional colleagues, you know, all recommendation is being part of the nutritional manual. There is a lot of information, you know, reinforcing that fat animals and thin animals, they are not performing well. Then we have our partners, like Dr. Mark Knauer and his university, that is providing to the industry a really valuable information, tools to work with, to help customers. And then for technical services, it's just pointing out that in that direction, because we do believe that is a key area of management, right? We cannot forget that, and it's something that we are pushing hard. It's something that we are reinforcing our customers to look at that. But it takes time. And again, I do believe that the industry made a good progress in the last window of time. But still, we have room to improvement, right? For improvement.
Yeah, in our nutritionist point of view, the benefit of keep cells in good body condition came from two parts. The first part is by saving the feed, because this once we did a very simple calculation. If you can control or keep your cells or gills in good body condition from the first service as compared to a fatter cell or fatter gilt or overconditioned gilt that is 30 pound heavier, then after 4 or 5 parities for 5,000 herd cell farm, you can save as much as maybe $40,000 to $50,000 for just saving on the gestation feed. And on the other side, because of the body conditions are in the good range, you are more likely to have better reproductive performance, better wing-to-service interval, and better subsequent litter performance. So for those type of improvements, right now we are working with Dr. Knauer to develop our economic model to estimate how much U.S. dollar could those improvement can get to the gas customers to just further quantify those improvements. So that's what we are working on at this time.
Well, Ning is exactly right. As far as if your sows are over conditioned, you're potentially leaving a lot of money on the table. We've had some good earlier data sets. We just got a nice data set from Colombia, over 16,000 sows, multiple parities collected, and it clearly shows that over conditioned sows wean fewer pigs. So not the old over-conditioned sows, they hit you twice. You paid all that money and feed costs to get them fat, and now they're producing less pigs. So I think as we continue to educate people on the opportunity cost of letting sows get fat, people are going to start to really hone in to make sure their sows are in the right condition.
Another thing I just want to mention about the right or ideal body condition is that there are some studies shows that during the late gestation, if you overfeed or underfeed the sow or the sow with high back fat thickness or low back fat thickness at farrowing, they are more likely to have mammary gland development. So their mammary gland will be not as good as the ones in the median back fat thickness sow or gilts. So that will be another point that will hit the lactation performance.
So there's really a time period.
Last third part of gestation.
Talk to me a moment or two about the impact on sow retention
of conditioning? I mean, because we've talked about the productivity is impacted if they're over-conditioned, but if you think about how that may limit the useful parities of that animal, how does that play into the economics of the industry?
In relation to sow longevity, if sows are too thin and you don't feed them enough early in gestation to get them back into shape, we have some pretty good data showing those sows are going to have a lower farrowing rate, which means they're going to be more likely to drop out of the herd for reproductive performance. Now, sows that are over-conditioned, they should have pretty good farrowing rate, but if they're that over-conditioned, it could get to a point where they don't fit very well into the gestation stall or gestation crate, and they're also going to wean a smaller litter, so they're also more likely to be culled for reproductive performance.
Yeah, I'm 100% agree with Mark, 100%. Even everything, if we go before, everything start with probably heavy gills being bred, or gill with over 160 kgs or 350 pounds. So everything is starting there. We know that heavy gills, they eat less in lactation, they don't mean really well, they lost more body condition, and the problem starts right there. So sows that they are losing more body condition, especially gills, coming gills being weaned or parity one weaned, losing massive body condition, they are having a poor reproductive performance. Lower litter size, lower farrowing rate. So it is that. It is that. So I do believe also even gills, when we are adding or we are talking about body condition management strategy, gills should be part of that strategy as well.
The heavier or over-conditioned cells are more likely to get the lameness issue, which will cause them to be caught out of the breeding herd at the early parity.
I want to talk a little bit about management. Honestly, the whole problem sounds like management. It's not the sow's problem that she's heavy. Maybe that she had some difficulty in lactation, so she's light. But it really has to do with training the people who are in a position to have an impact on the intake of that animal, presuming that she's able to eat as much as you'll allow her to have. It's really a matter of training our people. Now, is that a correct assessment? And if so, how do we improve that?
No, I think you're exactly right, Ned. I mean, people drive production, right? It's everyone's job to help put the best tools we can in people's hands in order for them to succeed. And I think with the move to some of these objective body condition measures, especially ones that don't require a lot of labor to execute, you can give people tools that can help keep those sows from getting over-conditioned, help train their eye to be better observers of visual body condition, and just help us be better overall managers. So a lot of these workers didn't grow up on farms. They don't have a lot of pig background, and their stockmanship skills are evolving. So if we can put tools into their hands that make them better stockmen, yeah, that's a good thing.
Mark, what are the marks that you're trying to hit as far as the weight of these animals at the different stages in their reproductive lives?
So our initial work, we conducted two studies on large commercial farms. Each study had over 1,000 animals. And the answer in both studies is we found this little sweet spot for an ideal body condition in relation to subsequent reproductive performance. And as I said, we just got some good data from Columbia put together by Asymmetrics, containing a data set containing over 16,000 sows, and it validated what we found in the first two studies, showing that there is an ideal sow body condition in relation to subsequent reproductive performance.
How will you, within the PIC programs, how will you take what is being learned and boil it down so that those numbers rise to the surface and we can be more specific in how we're training our users, our producers, to best manage these animals?
Well, the short answer is we need to communicate that information to them, and we need to give to that information the relevance that it has, because this is the first step. That should be part of the conversation. That should be over the table when we try to improve economic and reproductive performance of our customers. That should be part of the conversation, because at the end of the day, body condition management or sow's body condition could unlock the genetic potential. Could lack or unlock the genetic potential, and that is a must. Needs to be done well. Right, because if not, we will have a lot of limitation. So this is the first thing, and the second thing is, as we said before, we need to plan ahead, a doable plan for our customers. And when we say customer at the slab level, as Mark said, people probably without previous experience in pork production, make their life easier. It needs to be simple, well executed, and need to be consistent, right? I think that is possible. I think that is doable. When we talk about breeding choices, when we talk about breeding reorganization, when we talk about assessment, I think that people realize today that there are other, we can work smarter and not harder doing some other things in the breeding barn. And again, it's a matter of sow quality. It's a matter of quality. Today, with the litter size that we are having, it's more common to see sows, around 30% of the sows having more than 5 hours of farrowing length. If those sows are fat, if they are not well prepared for that critical moment, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. Then the small details, you know, following that is like a water intake in lactation. If we have a fat herd, probably we can do things different. Body condition will take time to address that issue. But probably we need to be more focused on, let's go to improve water intake. Let's go to train our gills how to get, to find the water nipple and to stimulate the water intake. Even it's more relevant when they are fat. Right? Let's go to get on feet as soon as possible. Let's go to talk about sow care, right? So there are a lot of things that we can do, we can implement to help our customer now when we are seeing a fat herd.
So, Ned, I may be biased as we've sent a lot of CalPERS to PIC, but they have been, when I look at genetic companies and just companies in general, by far the most proactive in helping producers to help manage body condition, to make sure they're saving dollars by not overfeeding sows and setting them up for success to maximize that lactation feed intake. Because we know if we maximize that lactation feed intake, it's going to pay off in better subsequent farrowing rate and subsequent litter size.
Great conversation, guys. Questions for each other?
Yeah, I just have one of those body condition related question is, when we found some sows or they were really thin or under condition at the time of weaning, which approach should we take? Should we just give them more feed to make them goes back to the ideal body condition as quick as possible, or take off time to use a relatively longer time but more smoothly to make them get back? Which one do you think will be a better approach to do that?
Well, from my perspective, it depends. There is something like called breeding target that people want to meet every week. We cannot forget that, right? And also, it's going to depend on the parity and the quality of female. So that skinny, thin animal is a parity 1, parity 2, parity 3, really good performance, really good underline, no problems, good structure, winning a lot of pigs. Probably I will take the decision to skip the heat and breed her 3 weeks later. If we're talking about parity 7 plus sow, parity 5, but underline, probably I will call her. But even skip the heat or breed her, I prefer to skip the heat, but if they took the decision to breed her, we need to feed her. And we need to place not in between fat sows, right? We need to take care of her, right?
That's a good question, Ning, and I think Sergio made a lot of good points, especially about putting the thin ones together, putting the fat ones together, and putting the ideal sows together when you place them into gestation. And to further answer your question, if you have a sow that's very thin, you know, you're probably going to want to crank up the feed pretty fast, versus if you have a sow that's borderline thin, then you might not have to crank the feed to her quite as fast. That's a good question.
And one of the things that is a very practical thing that used to help employees' engagement to continue working with body condition is having them to mark sows, visual body condition marks, let's say in that way. So thin sow is one dot in the back, normal condition sows two dots, and fat sow three dots. Is that question that you made there, they're taking that decision every day when they have a female on heat in front of them. But in some way, we need to look at how many thin sows I bred this week. How many of them, right? It's hard to have a wider perspective in the breeding barn on how many thin animals they were breeding every week. If you have even that mark, or two dots, one dot, three dots, it's very visual. And you could have a proactive conversation with them. Hey, what happened that week? You were breeding so many thin animals that week. Something is happening. Also, you can also proactively see if the one that you assess at weaning with one dot is becoming two dots. It's becoming normal. And you can see, hey, guys, you are doing right. You are recovering their body condition. Good job. So this kind of engagement, but also to prevent some kind of issues, because if we see normal condition or, let's say, two dots at weaning, and at 60 days they are becoming three, or heavy, hey guys, let's go to stop here, let's go to reevaluate the way that we are feeding those animals, right? So probably that could help to analyze all the management aspect that we are talking today.
That's a great point, Sergio. At weaning, go in there before you move them to gestation, measure condition, label them with a color, label them with a number, label them with a colored number, however you need to do it, get them labeled, and then you can place them into gestation based on condition and adjust feed accordingly along the way. But that label there is very helpful.
Good tool. How quickly can you change the body condition of a herd?
It's not weird to say or to see farms that they were in the fat side of the body condition, in the heavy side of the body condition, and 6 months later they are in the opposite side.
And that's all personnel.
Because when farm realize or companies or owners realize that there is a lot of money in front on top of the table, they push hard on that. They try to decrease the gestation feed usage. And they do. So you can see some farms swimming is the word, right?
Yeah.
From one to here, and then we say, okay, let's go to stay in the middle, okay? Let's go to make a plan to stay there for a long period of time.
And so that's where your calipers come in. It's no longer, it's either yes or no, depending upon what the reading is.
Yeah, and I like Sergio just, in his comments, he used the word consistent. I think that's a very good word for the body condition monitoring. On one side, it means we need to use the same procedure every time.
Yes.
On the other side, it means we need to keep doing that periodically.
Yes.
I heard there's some farm that they start to use caliper and did very well, and see that the body condition became better, reproductive performance getting better, and then they just stop because they think they are good enough, then nobody will know what will happen next.
Whenever you return to an old mean, an old behavior, it's usually not beneficial when you've seen improvement in the new way of doing things. But most of us want to go back to the way we used to do things. It's easier.
Joining us on the squeal for this final episode of 2 on Body Condition was North Carolina State Extension's Mark Knauer and PIC's Ning Liu and Sergio Cavanat. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.